Frontier.
Welcome once again to Wrestling Daft the Marks, and we've turned 40. This is the 40th episode, and I'm turning 40, much like this show, in a couple of weeks' time. It's highly depressing, but this will not be a depressing show. We embrace the 40th episode. Hailing from Larbert, weighing in at 184 pounds. Yeah, it's flying up now. I'm John, producer of Wrestling Daft, host of this very show. And with me, a man who's bigger than Drew McIntyre's sword. That's a spoiler alert for Raw if you haven't seen it yet. It's Big Alex.
Is it as big as the mystery of how WWE thinks the history of Scotland and Ireland are interconnected?
There is an interconnection between
not quite to the level that they portrayed, although I did like the way it was Sheamus gifting him the sword from behind, but we'll save that for Gary's Raw putovers later, shall we?
And we can actually see it for the first time. There's no connection because we are better at football than them.
Yes! Hey! Oh, yes, sir!
No Scotland, no party. It's official.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, we here to talk about wrestling, and that man you just heard there is a man who's hot on the trail, and I'm putting emphasis on hot on the trail, of the Undertaker's love of Nando's. It's Gary Cassidy from Inside the Ropes. Talk us through what the hell is going on with the Undertaker and Nando's.
So this actually happened last year. I don't know if any of you remember the Scottish Comic Con. Yeah.
Yes.
But I tried, of course, tried to get along to that to interview the Undertaker. They were only going to give me Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Marty Jannetty. So I decided not to go because I think I was meant to be down in London or something. There was something going on at the same time. And I was like, no, I would need to cut a journey short. But the Undertaker ate in Nando's. He didn't eat at number 13 table. Number 13 was right next to it. But what they've done is they've reconfigured the table numbers to make the table Undertaker was sitting at number 13. And Nando's have paid tribute to the Undertaker by permanently reserving his table in the West Lothian. Lothian Road, Edinburgh, yeah. Branch of Nando's. So I'm not sure if they have legitimately, like, completely reserved it and it will never be eaten at again. But that's what their claim is. And yeah, Undertaker replied to it to say, get me 15 hot wings, get me 15 wings, make sure they're hotter than hell for my return. And then a couple of days later, Hot Ones, the podcast where they interview somebody while making them eat the hottest wings ever, are now going to have the Undertaker on. So it looks like we're just getting Undertaker hot wings news going forward.
That's an association I never thought I'd see, but I'm all for it.
Absolutely. And there's actually one, I know we're going to get into the news later, but there's one bit of breaking news that's just came for PW Insider that I think I should say, because I need to read out the first sentence for full effect. So it's a spoiler for Survivor Series, where it's going to be Undertaker's 30th anniversary. And the first sentence is, WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle and Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle is scheduled to be in attendance. They've named them twice. Do you know why? Because they're covering all angles.
Hey! Wouldn't it be great if, you know, obviously the Undertaker's billed for Survivor Series this weekend, if he just comes up and he does like a man versus food hot wing challenge?
Or eats the gobbledygooker. That's what you want him to do.
Just today, man won, and then Undertaker just stands up at the end. Yeah, that'd be great television, you know, get Adam Richman on. That.
Oh, what a way to go. No, you'll have heat with Adam Richman now, he's vegan.
Oh, so is he?
he's all about the avo now. He's
fuck
vegan.
Off, Adam.
You can spice avos. Have you never had spiced cauliflawer? Like, what they do instead of wings?
Cauliflower wings are brilliant, aye. I'm a big fan of cauliflower.
Jesus. Oh, no, that's John's rant for next week. People who
are Adam Richmond's vegan.
As they're put on the menu in most places, collie wings, which John will love even more.
Yeah, exactly. When does fucking cauliflower start having one? Get yourself.
Do you know what the worst one is? Have you ever seen cauliflower rice?
Shred
cauliflower and put it in the dish and be like, rice.
Right, anyway.
Smells horrendous.
Forget about that. Just forget about that. Undertaker, we'll get into Undertaker and Survivor Series a bit later on the show as we kind of preview that. Of course, we're going to be burying and putting over stuff from the big shows in the company of our guest, Mark. Once again, we're on the Wrestling Daft Draft, heading to Fantasy Booking Island, and we'll find out who booked the best gimmick match last week. And there's been massive complaints this week, again, because it was a very late call on the booking this week. I apologise, Alex, because I know you get really upset about
it. It's a boycott of the Raft this week, I think, John. Or I'm
are you boycott? Are you going
a situation where John gives us the booking more than 53 minutes before the podcast is recorded?
Alex is going to, in keeping with what's on TV right now, shout, I'm a Mark, get me out of here when it gets to the...
Well, we'll find out if he's come up with something a bit later on. Our quiz is back once again. He'll definitely be on that because he loves being the quiz master. It's WrestleMind, the Buzznocks. Alex, you just love being the quiz master, don't you?
I do. I just don't like being a contestant. I think that's really what it is.
Yeah. So we'll be playing that a bit later on. But first, let's cut a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
I'm going wrestling again this week, believe it or not, boys. And it's something that's been a very hot topic in WWE over the last couple of months. And that is the whole WWE not letting their superstars, let's just call them superstars.
Employees, but not employees.
They're not employees.
Free contractors.
Do any third-party work. Now, this obviously all kicked off when WWE thought, oh, hold on a minute. These guys are making good coin out of the likes of Twitch, out of OnlyFans, out of all these platforms where there's the ability to make money. And then they put, initially said, right, well, you can't use your superstar name. Listen, get that. I completely get that. That is WWE's property, intellectual property. So I get that. But then obviously a lot of the superstars switched to their own names, a la Paige. Now we're in a situation a few months down the line, and people were high up in government were getting involved in this chat. I can't remember the chat.
Andrew Yang.
Yeah, Andrew Yang was getting involved in this. And now we're at a point where, one, a very bright female member of the roster in Zelina Vega has been, let's just say, let go from the company because she took a stand and said, well, this is not on, And she's quite right. As a freelancer, she's not staff. She's not an employee of the WWE in their eyes, because that's the way that she's been contracted. She's taken a stand against the company. And as a result, she's lost her job. For me, it can't go on like that. It can't, if you're either an employee. So if WWE want to take that responsibility, that's fine. If she was an employee, she refused to change, come off Twitch or what have you. That's fine. That's gross misconduct. You can get the sack. Absolutely no problem at all. But you're in a very sticky situation when someone that's employed as a freelance. Now, I've worked in an industry where there's been several court cases involving people taking the companies to court because even though in name they were freelance, they were treated as a staff member. Now, I'm guessing that's very similar to WWE. And I think it's a complete, I don't know what to say. I think it's shocking. I actually think it's shocking that someone who is a freelance can't go and make money elsewhere when you should be able to do that.
Has anything come out to say what she actually earns on Twitch compared to what her WWE downside would be? Because there was obviously a lot of stuff came out that they were losing revenue from their house shows.
She earns a lot more on Twitch, let's just put it that way. However, the argument there would she earn that much on Twitch if it wasn't for the basis of being a WWE superstar? But it's a bit of an odd one because, and I think we will get into it more in the news, but apparently it is because she joined OnlyFans after the third-party edict came out, which again, it's kind of impossible to debate that without debating the full unionisation thing, but I know we'll get into it in the news later, but Screen Actors Guild are now getting involved. So
yeah, quite rightly so.
Just quickly, while we're on OnlyFans, am I the only one who immediately brings the word porn to my mind whenever
that's exactly what comes
okay, as long as that's not just me, it makes me feel a lot better.
That's okay.
I think that is also maybe one of the connotations that she wasn't it? Putting pornographic stuff there.
Cosplay photos and obviously live streams and stuff, yeah.
Enzo puts he runs wrestling classes through OnlyFans. Wow. There's a wee snippet there.
Run promo classes. I reckon you get much higher attendance.
It's one of those ones, but I guess we'll get into it later, but the Screen Actors Guild are getting involved, so
that's really interesting to hear that. I mean, obviously, she put out a tweet prior to, which it's turned out she was let go before she put out the tweet saying about unionisation. But I can honestly see a revolt happening in the industry with this. There's a lot of strong-willed political people in that WWE dressing room, and I would be very, very surprised if they're going to sit back and take this, because It's not right. So, bit of a serious promo this week, but yeah, it'll be interesting, like you say, Guy, to see what comes of that. But again, just loss of a great superstar on the WWE roster, and hopefully Selena will go on to better things.
And probably do more for unionization than David Starr ever did.
Guys, it's great news this week. We have officially made it as a wrestling podcast, and I'll tell you for why. This week, Wrestling Daft is brought to you by Manscaped.
I had a feeling this was what it was going to be. Which says a lot about Manscaped.
If you've never listened to another wrestling podcast, I'll tell you about Manscaped. It is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. It offers precision-engineered tools for your boys. There we are. And they've just launched in the UK. You know, we've gone through a few years, boys. Let's face the fact. If you've ever tried taking on that job with a razor or with any other implement, it usually kind of ends in absolute disaster. Does anybody want to come to the table and share an experience of when they've tried to shave their balls and it's ended in blood?
I would rather not. It's traumatising enough to think about rather than discussing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the wrestler comment of blading. I mean, this is what happens, you know. You see colour down there, it's not good. It is not good, and it's not intentional, you know. That's why Manscaped, they've redesigned this electric trimmer, right? They've taken the engineering team to produce the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created.
I'm so jealous of those engineers. They have a great job.
Absolutely. What a job. They've improved
not the Teslas.
Up to the lawnmower 3.0, which is in the UK now. It's a third generation trimmer featuring a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce those accidents so you won't be getting colored down there. Basically the battery lasts up to 90 minutes, so you won't get that whole awkward thing, you know, when your razor runs out halfway through a shave and you're like,
if it's taking you 90 minutes, I think you've got more problems than shaving down there.
Yeah, but it's going to last 90 minutes, so you're not going to get a half-arse job done there. It's waterproof as well, so you can go in the shower with it, and it has an LED light in it, which means you can see what you're doing down there, boys. And the 3.0 model is upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. I don't know what quiet stroke technology is, but I want to know more about it. And it's got a charging stand so you can show your mower off loud and proud. But don't leave it near your girlfriend or your wife or anything like that, because they'll be at it as well. So just keep it hidden from them. So if you want to experience it firsthand, right, we've got a special offer for you, right? Okay, you can get 20% off and free shipping if you use the code DAFT at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code word DAFT when you're checking out. Manscaped.com. Get yourself involved. Get those balls in shape. And get yourself a Lawnmower 3.0 with our special discount. So head there now, manscaped.com, and type in DAFT. Your balls are going to thank you. So every week we like to look into the big wrestling shows. We like to look into your AEW Dynamites, we look into your NXTs, we look into your SmackDowns, we look into your Raws, and we're always joined by one of our listeners. And this week's guest, Mark, he's been on before. We know the cut of his jibs. It's Mr. Scott Kirkwood. How you doing, Scotty?
Hi, good mate. How's yourselves?
Aye, good. Good to have you back on, sir. You're looking, he's just come in from his work. You can see the video version on our Patreon, but if you are listening to it, he's looking a bit like a kind of Right to Censor version of Scott Kirkwood. Scott normally has a goatee, you know, shaved head, and now he's a wrestling t-shirt on. Now he's looking like he's joined the Right to Censor.
Gone round some folk for the newspapers. I bought the newspapers in the street.
That'd be a fucking great gimmick at the moment, right? If the wrestling was on, that would be a great gimmick. COVID officer coming out measuring 2 meters between everyone. Brilliant. We're going to get into the wrestling. We're going to start off by visiting Wednesday night and Big Alex with AEW Dynamite.
So we were coming off the high that was Full Gear again. So they, it was a good show. It was a good show. Still plagued by the same sound issues, but I'm going to just not mention that again, as I seem to moan about that every second week.
Yep.
So we had a lovely debut of Darby's new fantastic thumbtack-orientated jacket, and JR coming up with the most ridiculous nickname for him of Thumbtack Jack. But he was upstaged by John's best friend. So just to prove that he is in the same vintage as John, he was rocking a quality Skeletor face mask, which I really liked. So big up John's best friend, the Everton man.
Oh, what the fuck? Is he back on?
Wait, he's been there
an AEW man now. He's fully, he's gone to the opposition.
For, maybe he was part of one of the COVID scares
at NXT, and that's why they've kicked him out. Right, hang on. Before I start, though, I've got a question written down, like Drunk Alex normally does, but this is Sober Alex's question. What happened to the Hager and Jericho tag team? There was like a huge announcement that they were going to join that, and they just have done nothing with it. I mean, I'm really
who cares? The less we see of Jake Hager, the better for me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on who cares, but I just wanted to point out that that's gone, and I'm happy about it. So,
I completely forgot all about that until you mentioned it.
They made like a speech.
Completely forgot about that.
Like, it's weird though, because they're normally so like long term with some of their bigger stars like Jericho and MJF, and it seems they've maybe just pulled the trigger on the Jericho MJF thing earlier than they were initially anticipating, maybe. But this is a Mark talking now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, first putter of the week, Miss Brandi Rhodes, because she looked badass, and she came out with the best line of the week to Jade Cargill, which was, "Bitch, get your ratchet trifling ass out of here," and then proceeded to attempt to kick her out. And there was that awkward moment when Jade tried to kind of squeeze Brandy's bum on the way out, and they were broken up by security. So
the promo for Jade Cargill wasn't fantastic, I'm going to admit that, but man, I'm really excited to see her going forward, because she just looks like she's chiseled out of granite.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, you've got no fat on you whatsoever, and you look like obviously quite tall, quite, you know, imposing. I can't wait to see what they do with her.
She reminded me of that woman. Who was it that used to manage the Bashams? Mind her?
Oh.
I can't remember her name. But that, she, as soon as I seen her, that's exactly who she meant. She's a tank, like, she's solid.
Well, I mean, this is going to lead me on to my berry. Now, I'm going to be very specific here. So I don't want this to be misconstrued, because I know Gary will flip off at me if I now bury Jade Cargill after saying that. So this is not aimed at Jade Cargill. This is not aimed at the actual rivalry. I'm going to bury the way they've started this Cody Shaq rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the rivalry is a great idea. It's the same idea of bringing in really? Mike Tyson. It's getting eyes on the product. And
I
they
know
it
gets eyes on the product, but
and
really?
And Shaq is huge in the States. And I think you can maybe get something out of Shaq. Has Shaq been training before?
He started training for a potential match with the Big Show that never happened. Yeah. So if you remember that face off, I don't think it's going to be, you know, mind blowing as a match or anything, but I like it as a storyline as well. The only thing is, don't mention the Shaq if you're not going to bring out the Shaq.
Yeah, like what's Jade Cargill got to do with Shaq? Why did she come up halfway through just a random Cody promo?
I know it was very strange. Yeah, it was really strange. You expect Shaq to go bring in Shaq and then nothing happened.
Yeah, you want like a huge pop and stuff like that, and you want it just made no sense to me as a way to kick that rivalry off.
It'll be weird him playing a bad guy. He's like the happiest guy in the world, Big Shaq.
Cody will be turning. Cody's
he's good.
That's what I meant to feel, isn't there?
He's kind of flipped back more face. Like he seemed to. I was assuming he was going to go more heel during the Cassidy rivalry in post, and he seems to have flopped back more face since.
But was he not kind of showboating against Darby Allin and all that?
Was the thing that I had Arn Anderson getting annoyed at him for kind of not being all about the business and showboating a wee bit, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah, they seem to be. I don't know what they're doing with the Cody character, but at least he got his name back. I'm happy that we no longer have to call them Cody and Brandi Rhodes just to stick the Rhodes in there somehow. So
that was genius when they brought out the Funkos and had a double pack and had Cody and Brandi Rhodes. Though I was like, that is like the best business decision I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? Because I'm assuming that I think in WWE she was only ever Brandi, wasn't she? So they have
she
no
was Eden.
Her
name was Eden. Nah.
My second putover of the evening is I'm going to have no more berries because I was pretty satisfied with the show apart from that.
And you were drunk.
Sorry?
And you were drunk.
I was tipsy. I wasn't drunk. My second put over of the night is mainly because this can't be match of the night, is Sean Spears versus Scorpio Sky. First of all, I'm glad to see that one of the dark rivalries has pushed up onto the main card to get their kind of their go-home match. I think it's a good advert for Dark, and these were the right two guys to do it with. I know every week John is asking, where is Sean Spears? So here he is, John. He's on Dynamite this week.
He looks, do you know what? I have to say, seeing that AEW ring, he looks massive. Seeing a WWE ring, he just, anytime I see Sean Spears, I'm just like, is that the size of him? Because in WWE, he just looks small, but in this, in an AEW ring, he looks absolutely massive.
I'd love to know if, and I know that it might be about, you know, size of the opponent and stuff like that. I know WWE use a 20x20 ring and most other promotions use a 16x16. I'd love to know if AEW use a 16x16 or a 20x20 or somewhere in between.
They might go for an 18 just to be a bit, just to look bigger than indies, but not quite be as big as WWE. Because as well, that will then affect how many fans you can have in attendance. And you'd imagine AEW runs smaller shows, so you'd lose X amount of floor space to standing fans. It was a good finish, and I think we'll see more of that, to be honest. It doesn't feel like it's over, because Scorpio seems to be one of the next big guys to push. But match of the night, I think everyone can guess what I'm going to say here, was Penta versus Phoenix 2. It was terrific, and I think it was really, really helped by Eddie Kingston on commentary, and Eddie Kingston slowly turning on Phoenix as the match went on, which was really interesting, and a little, he like kicked him out of the ring at the end of the match. And it all built to the big return of Pac, which I think we're going to see like a little inter-family feud between the Kingston lovely little family, which is going to be good. But I'm slightly disappointed that they had the Pac return video last week. I thought this was just a big surprise.
Well, I thought your Biddy, you can tell you don't use the internet much, Alex, because I thought your Biddy was going to be that segment, despite everyone liking it. I need to Biddy myself, because I contributed to some hyperbole that there was going to be a massive shock at the end of Dynamite. And I will be open about what I was told, more open than I was on Twitter as well. So essentially, I was told that there was going to be an invasion, not an invasion angle as such, but there was going to be another promotion being part of Dynamite, and they were going to announce a working partnership. What I was told is that Impact were going to be there, which I believe this stemmed from Impact people being there, because Jericho was on Talking Shop of Mania, and I've been told since that the Good Brothers were in attendance, just not on the show. I got told there was going to be an announcement of a working partnership at the end of the show between Dynamite, or between AEW and Impact, which I was like, here we go. I love Impact. I like AEW. This is going to be absolutely fantastic. And then it didn't happen. And despite Pac being absolutely brilliant, one of my favourite wrestlers, I was like, oh, a bit underwhelming.
I mean, Callis was there at the start of the show. Like, Callis.
Don Callis there as well. Everyone was pointing to that being
That would have been so good, especially build up to Survivor Series on the other channel. Do you know what I mean? Yep. That would have been made so much sense to do something like that, do an inter-promotional pay-per-view.
That's everything that I get told up to. I was getting told, you know, another promotion, stuff like that. And I was like, right, NWA would make sense. New Japan and America would make sense, because there's a lot of crossover already. And then I get told Impact, and I was like, well, that would be amazing. But I'm not sure I believe it now, because if it was Impact, without getting too much away, I'd probably have heard it otherwise.
Why has Callis been there, though? Because Callis, I know he's a commentator.
And Omega's friend, but again, it still was a big stretch, I think.
Is Jericho's friend too, is he not?
Aye.
Yeah, so it feels a bit random that he was there for no purpose. Maybe they've found some snagging points in the deal, and maybe things have not quite as forward as we thought.
I think we're definitely going to see not just them working together. I think we're going to see everyone that's not WWE working together going forward. But it's interesting. But I was really annoyed when it didn't happen.
That would be brilliant.
Absolutely amazing. There's just anything in wrestling, like not even storyline. That's just something that I'm like, that would be really exciting, because there's a lot of good, you know, matchups between the rosters.
Yeah, when you talk about Motor City Machine Guns and getting involved in the tag, you know, the good.
Them and FTR would be a brilliant match.
Oh, that's, God, aye. Oh, right, see. Don't get that. That might happen.
It's all out the windy, aye. Because
I know, for fuck's sake. It might happen.
To be fair, that's Fantasy Booking Island. Sorry for next week.
Thank you, Scott. That's a great shout. Thanks very much. Let's move on to NXT, and I did see it this week. I'm not just going to read the notes from the Bleacher Report. Let's start with a nice put over here. I love a good swerve, and I didn't see this coming. I thought we were all getting set up. I'm talking about the Gargano versus Leon Ruff match. I loved Johnny from a few weeks ago when he was saying his hate of wheels and the fact he hates wheels. He comes out with a wheel, you know, and it's all the wrestlers' names. He spins it and it ends up on Leon Ruff, and they'd even taken they've just got a bit of tape and taped over a name on the wheel.
It was that Austin Theory's name they taped over because they quit.
Oh, really?
Aye.
It's Austin Theory, of course.
No, it's a storyline on TV.
That'll come down the line. I love that. And then obviously, and ends up in Leon Ruff. And we all look at, we thought this is just going to be a, you know, 30 second match. He's doing all the handshake stuff. And then Leon Ruff runs away with a title, which is brilliant, which I love, you know, and I love a good character bit like that. I mean, what you could argue, should someone have a, like that, have a big title on him already? But obviously, NXT see big things for this boy in the future. You know, he's playing like the complete rookie, doesn't know anything. And I think it's good fun. There's probably on Twitter probably loads of people criticising, but I think it's good fun, and I look forward to see where it goes. You know,
it had to continue the Johnny Gargano story.
Yeah, because
he's never defended a belt.
Aye.
Yeah. Well, that does that. So. No, I really liked that. I really enjoyed
that. For me, it took me back to when I was a kid, I absolutely loved going between WCW and WWF and ECW as well. But that for me was one of the moments that it's like, that's the kind of moment that people might change the channel for. If they see that on Twitter, they might go, fuck, I need to watch NXT now.
Yeah.
But like, that's Fightful have made quite a bit of noise about Leon Ruff. It was one person I think I spoke about it before. I got told about Anthony Green signing after Leon Ruff had just signed, and they're part of the same class. So essentially, they've just joined at the same time, same as Brandi Lord and a load of other people. But Leon Ruff, before he signed, everybody apparently loved him. Fightful spoke about it where he faced off against Aleister Black and Sheamus on Raw and SmackDown, and apparently everybody's been ranting and raving about him. So I think probably just the kind of thing where people liking him backstage has led to, we'll just chuck him in that position and give him a title. Who cares?
Good. Like it. I think it's got legs, and, you know, I'm interested to see where it goes. Right, first buddy of the night.
I was going to say,
she's
just done that Leon
Ruff,
the best bit. Did you see
the bit
when they tried to put the title in the minute?
Yeah, I know. It was good.
Tremendous.
Going back to the rules, this is going to be my first buddy of the night. You know, I'm a stickler for the rules in wrestling. You know, I know it's kayfabe and whatever, but come on, let's follow the rules. So basically, Jake Atlas is about, he's in a decent match with Escobar, which was really good. Didn't particularly like the finish. But anyway, he was, you know, about to get counted out for the 10. Then he jumped up on the apron and the referee stopped the count. Now, as far as I'm aware, you need to get back under the ropes for the count to stop. And then the referee just, his count stopped. He was about to get counted out at 9. He jumped up onto the apron and then something happened. And then
did his hands go over the ropes? So technically his fingers were in the ring?
Come on, stick to the rules, fellas. Come on.
It depends. It's like the offside. It's like the goal rule in football, right? It's got to be the entire ball over the line. So maybe wrestling, it's just
any. We're not bringing VAR into wrestling now, Alex. We're not bringing that in, no.
Somebody asked Triple H about that when I was in Blackpool, and he was like, no, it's never going to
be. I'm a stickler for the rules, so I didn't like that. But Jake Atlas, the good thing about Cena on Jake Atlas is they're starting to build a bit of character around him. You know how generic fucking wrestling he looks with that horrible fucking theme music as well.
You mean those banging tunes that he uses to come down to the ring, yeah? Random character that he is.
That's his theme. The well-being theme.
Can you do a promo on dubstep next week, please?
Yes, absolutely. Right, but yeah. Jake Atlas, they're building a bit of character with him now. You know, you saw him backstage, he did a little vignette with the, Legado del Fantasma, jumping out of the car, the crew. Like how they're starting to build, and I like his glasses. You know, we've not talked about fashion on this on the show yet, but I like Jake Atlas's glasses. Check them out if you see that vignette. The other thing I'm going to buddy, we're getting a bit like AEW here in NXT. Come on, we don't need to pander to the AEW levels of, oh, let's fight over a fucking arcade machine or a computer game. Now we've got fucking a match which has been arranged because Timothy Thatcher banged into Dexter Loomis's cartoon that he drew. Now, I don't know why, for in the first instance, why Dexter Loomis is turned into fucking Rolf Harris and is backstage drawing fucking caricatures of fucking Grimes.
Is it fair to compare a man that's
maybe that's a horrible comparison.
That's what Rolf Harris did.
Surely, no, if you compare anyone to Rolf Harris, it's Velveteen Dream, come on.
You know, can you guess what it is yet? That was Rolf Harris's gimmick, man. Anyway.
Yeah, but I think we, but you can say Rolf Harris as much as you can say Jimmy Savile, mate. So.
Listen, was he a yes or no? Was Rolf Harris a cartoonist?
Yes.
Well, the comparison stands. The comparison stands. Okay. So anyway, we're getting into let's stop talking about Rolf. We're getting into a fight over a fucking cartoon getting knocked over. What the hell? This is like AEW fighting over an arcade machine. That's bollocks. Anyway, wasn't happy with that because it, you know, great match. Don't get me wrong, Timothy Thatcher Loomis, potentially match of the night. Oh, that could be a spoiler. But yeah, no, get that in the bin. Get that cartoon shite in the bin. Anyway, continue. Let's go over to the next put over. I like a bit of intrigue in wrestling. I like a bit of storyline. I'm intrigued about this whole Boa, Xia Li thing that's going on. Who's the mystery behind it? What are these notes that keep getting passed? Raquel Gonzalez beating the shit out of Boa was brilliant as well. But what's happening? What's this mysterious man coming down? What are the dragons round the ring? Oh, I'm tuning in next week to find out about that because I hope Tozawa's behind it. And his
different nationality. He's Japanese.
I know he's Japanese. I know he's Japanese. But everyone
but
can
does
be
Vince McMahon know he's Chinese and he's Japanese?
Yeah, I know that. But let's just, you know, it's kayfabe, man. It's kayfabe, right? So, you know, we could pretend Roddy Piper's Scottish. You know, anyway.
Glasgow's own.
Roddy Piper. So, yes. So, loving that. I'm going to tune in for that. And I'm going to go match of the night. I'm with Toni Storm, Candice LeRae. Toni Storm is good. And I love her hair metal gimmick. I love that. And I love her. She's got a brilliant theme coming down.
Yeah.
Oh, proper good 80s hair metal theme. So,
see,
there we go.
When she wrestles in like her spiky pants, do they not hurt like hell when you're wrestling? Like, they've got studs all over them. I'm sure sometimes they're spiky. And if you take a bump on spiky pants,
you'll have to ask her.
She got a matching tattoo with Diona Perrazzo at Download Festival. I can tell you that. That's
that's why we paid Gary the big bucks.
It's a drunk elephant.
got his jacket, I think.
Right, let's move on then to Friday Night SmackDown and our resident guest mark, Mr. Scott Cutworth.
Wait a minute, I need to get my notes.
You need to get his notes. Come on, a bit more professional.
I know. By the way, I've only got one berry and then one like wee slight one. Actually, SmackDown was alright.
There we go. Vince will be delighted to hear that. It was alright.
Apart from Otis and Ziggler. Even the hint of that feud restarting, that's what's getting buried.
Aye.
The minute I seen name come on the screen, I thought, no again. That match got fast forwarded, so that's it for the night. I'll tell you that right now. But him and Gable going together could be quite a fun tag team, I think, or whatever it is they're trying to do. They go together and he's going to try and get them in shape and things like that. So that could be quite interesting.
Both very accomplished amateur wrestlers, obviously Gable more so because he's been at the Olympics, but Otis is apparently a really...
Is he?
Is this just another knife that's being stuck deeper and deeper into the heart of one Tucker?
Aye.
Just slowly but surely. So we're going to break up Otis and Tucker and we're immediately going to strip Otis of money in the bag and put him into
stick him back in a tag team.
Get him back with Jason Jordan. Get Jason Jordan back. There's the tag team.
Is Jason Jordan not injured? Is he not like long-term neck problems like his dad?
He's a producer. He's a match producer now, backstage.
Yeah. But was there I'm sure there was something injury related to why he retired or something like that. But
again,
maybe
that's
making
why
that.
We put Gary the big bucks.
I just thought he was still injured. There you go. My first put over Sami Zayn. Absolutely love Sami Zayn. See, ever since he's came back, he's absolutely brilliant. He just plays just a smarmy wee dick so well. It's the, honestly, see, like, see, that's the heels that I like. That's the ones that I genuinely hate.
Smarmy wee dick. Like MJF, oh, I love MJF, but smarmy wee dick.
Aye, it's brilliant. And to be, in fact, no, I won't put that as match of the night, but I like the match finish for him as well with the Apollo Creed. The count out, easiest way to finish it. You just want to get it done quickly. Like who was it that was saying earlier about the, was it the guy in NXT that's done the split up the count?
Aye.
Sami Zayn's actually went out the ring. He's out for an eight. He's tied him up under the ring and went back in for a pin count.
Great.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Makes sense.
I think Sami Zayn's a lot like Bayley, where it's like, looking back, I never thought he could be as good a heel as he is.
Ah, no way.
But I don't want him to be face ever again, though. I think he's absolutely amazing.
Because I was just saying with Kevin Owens, I didn't think Kevin Owens would be as good a face. I thought he'd always be better heel. But he's one of the my favourites with SmackDown. And then the biggest put over, in fact, three folk, I suppose, McIntyre, Roman and Jey Uso. It was obviously the constant thread throughout SmackDown was McIntyre trying to send a message to Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. But like the promo at the start that they done for obviously McIntyre just coming out, then setting up the match with Jey Uso, and then the match at the end, it pushed a kind of feud, obviously, with what happened on Raw. It's pushed with what's going to happen with Survivor Series with McIntyre versus Roman. But then it's also that wee bit. Did you see SmackDown, I take it?
Aye.
And then there was that wee bit at the end when he was telling Jey Uso to go in and finish it and make him understand, and it pushes that story too. So it's two stories being blended into one, and it was brilliant.
It kind of gave the finish of Monday away for me, though. Like, after I saw that segment with Reigns and Roman, I was like, Drew is not losing on Monday in a fucking tall.
As I say to you before we got it, I only watched it today, so I missed all of that. So I thought that Drew had won the title before I'd watched SmackDown.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Oh, sorry.
Oh, because Gary's about to say it in 2 minutes.
We all knew it was coming anyway. It's all good.
But it was good. As I say, SmackDown's just kind of ticking along. Yeah, it's just consistently decent now. Mm. It's just the norm. Match of the night, I would probably say it's not a street fight. I didn't like that at all. I would go for Drew McIntyre and Jey Uso.
Am I, before we leave SmackDown, am I the only one that misses when Raw and SmackDown used to like be one cohesive show and they used to link into each other? And you know, the Monday stuff would fall out on Friday and so on and so forth.
They've got far too many folk now.
That's why the brand split happened, though, Alex, to get the.
I know, but there's like a certain degree that you can. I think there is a place for a good wild card rule, but I don't think WWE will ever have the
one lot of
ability to instigate
it. There's a wild card.
Like, done well, not just like.
Just for you to tell, just one last put over there. I want the Big E and Street Profits. Just classic. We watched the 3-0-9.
That's good. Looking forward to that match of Survivor Series between New Day and Street Profits as well. Right, okay, we've had the spoiler. Gary, what happened on Raw?
Well, put over, everybody knows what it is. Drew McIntyre.
Surely that was the spoiler, really, wasn't it?
But there's a lot more than just Drew McIntyre won the title. Obviously, that's going to be a put over in, you know, any week of this, if Drew McIntyre wins a title on Raw, of course it has to be a put over. But this Scott called it earlier on Twitter, tagged me in the clip. I was looking for the clip all last night and couldn't find it because it wasn't up yet, and I've not got the technical capacity to find it myself and clip it. Drew McIntyre, for a start, the entrance needs to be mentioned. They've done this full angle. Sheamus gives him, you know, they've got the full history, gives him a kilt and a claymore sword. New entrance. Whew. New entrance is absolutely amazing. If you watch
Gary, I've never heard you make that sound before.
Okay, make that sound again, Gary. Want to hear that sound again?
I think it was a poo. I'm not sure. it's the kind of thing where if you don't watch Raw for Renton, put it on for the last 40 minutes to see this entrance and end this match. Drew McIntyre comes out in a kilt. Essentially the exact same music that he always has. He's just working more in line with the music. So they have the sword clash, which I'm not a fan of, and then his music kicks in. But he now has the claymore, and I didn't notice the gimmick floor in the stage. He rises the claymore up anyway, like, so it's like pointed up, and then turns it round, pushes into the stage and the Claymore stays in the stage. The second it hits the stage, the flames come up and he's walking down wearing a big kilt. It is amazing. It's like
cool.
It's class.
Oh, it should have been his WrestleMania entrance in front of everybody, but we all know that that was, you know, there's no point in going on about it. Absolutely amazing. But
like reverse sword in the stone in some beautiful way. Instead of a watery woman, it's a fiery god.
So it doesn't take the sword down to ring then? The sword just...
No, it's still on the stage and that's it.
Good, I'll because it, that would be...
Doesn't kill somebody well. He's not new, Jack. Come on.
Did he strip off the kilt in a way that would be appropriate for a Chippendale once he got to the ring?
It was not Angel Garza-esque, sadly. I think it just took it off before the match started. But he also has ring gear that looks very similar to the ring gear he wore in ICW. It's like the black and blue with like kind of metal rings on it and stuff like that.
Okay.
The line we all know is coming. I love it. You know, I didn't watch Tiger King, but I loved when they stuck the wee Tiger King line in. Drew McIntyre just seems to go out and enjoy himself now. He chucked, "Yes, sir, I can boogie all night long." And
yes! Brilliant!
And it's never sounded better than him just screaming it at the camera as well. It was after he'd done like a... Oh, I can't even remember.
A neck breaker.
Running neck breaker, like kind of, he didn't kip up, but he got straight back up, ran into the corner turnbuckle and just screamed aggressively.
Yes, sir, I can put that. Is amazing.
Just absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic. Aye. I've got a bit of shout out as well to Drew. Obviously, you might have seen on Twitter this week, it's 5 years basically this week that our good friend Grado won the title against Drew at the SECC. And I've got to put a shout out to Drew, who Grado obviously tweeted about this, and then Drew retweeted it, and he said, "A truly historical special night. Not the atmosphere, not the sold-out SECC, not real Mick Foley being involved, not the finish, but Grado Wrestling keeping up with me for 20 minutes, almost." So
my favourite thing about that match is, and I think he said it in Hunter's interviews, and I think on this podcast since, but when I interviewed Grado, the one thing that he said is like, he's like, "I didn't know what to do a Hurricane Rana, but Drew made sure I was doing a Hurricane Rana, and it was the shittest Hurricane Rana you've ever seen." I was like, "I really liked it. I thought it was a belter Hurricane Rana." Yeah, but
absolutely. So Drew's on fire this week.
Aye.
That was the first ICW show I ever went to. I think Big Show was in front of me. Couldn't see nothing. We had to move. We had great standing bits. We had to move all the way around to the left of the ramp. Brilliantly.
Oh, but aye, so Drew McIntyre as a whole, but obviously there's a load to take apart there. That could I could have just done a full put overs, like 5 put overs of Drew McIntyre there.
Yeah. Here they come.
There's not even that many, and I'm being quite pernickety when it comes to the biddies. The first one I'm going to say is just a camera angle.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Aye, but it's...
Producer Gary's getting his hat on today.
It really annoyed me. So we all knew it was going to happen. We knew Lana was going through a table again because,
obviously,
you know, the one bit of continuity we've got in wrestling and in WWE is Lana going through a table. So they had the moment where she is going to go through a table, and the camera cut to the person on the outside of the ring, which looked into the ring, and it saw Asuka and Dana Brooke, because Mandy Rose was the one that got injured. It saw they two get their cue to run out of the ring and be out of there as soon as possible so that, you know, Lana could go through a table and they'll just no stone about like dafties like Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke were a couple of weeks ago. But it's like, you need to protect Asuka there, because Asuka shouldn't be scared to, the character that she's got isn't scared of anything. So she shouldn't be running out of the ring and running up the ramp to avoid confronting Nia Jax, because why would she be scared of Nia Jax? And they would outnumber Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler if it was the two of them and Lana. So it's just,
they're worried they're going to get injured if they wrestle Nia Jax.
Well, Mandy Rose did, so aye. But it's the kind of thing where that, it was just a daft camera angle thing where if they hadn't done that, I maybe wouldn't have, I might have thought about it and been a bit of a dick, but most people wouldn't have thought about it. I'd instantly seen it, everybody else would have seen it, and it was just very notable that the ref was like, "Right, run," and they had to sprint. So it was just rubbish, just a bad segment. And I mean, actually, let's ignore that. The Barry is Lanigan through the table again. Sick of it. It's just not what you want to see. The second Barry, and again, this isn't really a Barry, because there was a wee thing I liked about it. We mentioned earlier about Raw and SmackDown back when they were the same thing, and I hate the full brand supremacy thing, but I do quite like the fact that we, you know, there's a big enough roster that I like the brand split, because makes a bit of sense to have, you know, two different shows, but particularly makes sense now because they're on different networks. The Team Raw t-shirts have the USA Network logo on the back of them, and I assume SmackDown will have the Fox Network thing on the back of them. However, we had a match on the Raw, and I got told about this one beforehand, and I was like, right, this is probably going to be, you know, I don't mind what they're doing, but it's probably going to be the part of Raw where I'm a wee bit bored. And it kind of was. So we had the Survivor Series team, and I'm going to give them their proper names, which I don't know if anybody watched Raw last week, so you might not get it, but it was Fireface, Mongoose, Bro Lee, and Dopey, who are Braun Strowman, Sheamus, Riddle, and Keith Lee, taking on T-Bar, Slapjack, Mace, and Mustafa Ali.
Mustafa's Ali's name.
He needs a more ridiculous name. I was like, that name just stuns it like a sore thumb because it's too sensible for this match. But, and I get why they done it. This is a one-match Retribution don't need to win. I've been on here moaning about them no winning for weeks, but this is a match they don't need to win, and they won. It was just... and I mean, you don't even need a match. It was the kind of match, it just reminded me of what they'd done with Retribution. I hate everything they've done with them. They came out well in their merch. They've took all the Twitter account, the day of the WWE Twitter account. It's just that nonsense. It just makes me think, we should have done Retribution versus Team WWE Survivor Series. That should have been the way to do it, but we didn't do it. So I'm just going to moan about that match overall. Wasn't it a terrible match, but Retribution are just getting buried every week they appear on Raw now. Aye, no for me.
The only good thing they've done was that. Did you see that Mia Yim? In fact, maybe you retweeted it, Gary.
Aye.
Mia Yim tweet.
Aye.
Somebody had tweeted us saying, you should take off the mask and stick with the girls. And he's like, nah, this isn't me.
Aye.
Put it on Twitter account.
Wrong account, my man. The four best ones I've seen on Twitter today. That is absolutely brilliant. So. They'll up it over, and again, I'm just repeating myself every week here now. And oh, sorry, there was one other slight. Actually, no, I'll save it. I'll save it for the match of the night. I've kind of gave it away there. But the last put over, Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss. Simple.
Oh, every week.
So we can just copy and paste every week. So next week,
Drew McIntyre being the first Bray and Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss being Drew McIntyre being the first put over, and Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss being the second. That's just the way it's going to go for now. It's actually no really name. It's actually more just that full segment, because I think The Miz is absolutely brilliant. John Morrison was brilliant in it as well. Everything was amazing. Nikki Cross was brilliant in it. It essentially was one of these segments that made about six people look good and nobody look bad, which we don't really see too much in wrestling now, particularly in WWE. But I just think it was brilliant. And the main put over is they had, you know, Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt against The Miz. All right, match. I keep saying it, well, The Fiend, I think the mask is the main problem. I don't think he can quite work in a mask the way he can without a mask, which, you know, acceptable. But they had a segment outside the ring where Morrison was kind of getting involved. Alexa Bliss just ran at him and kind of jumped on him, and I don't think it was deliberate. They tumbled over the barricade and it looked painful. But after that, Alexa Bliss got up and just like kind of tiptoed along the barricade all the way around it and jumped onto Bray Wyatt, who'd won the match. And it was just a brilliant, it was a nice segment. Everything was good about it. Nikki Cross looked good. They'd made everything just look good. And then they ended it with The Fiend kind of looking at Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss for the Titantron. Bye. Just everything there, Dane. Match of the night. With something that almost made the biddies inside Match of the Night. Hurt Business, and this was very close to being the Drew Orton match because it was fantastic as well. But, you know, I've already mentioned that enough. So Match of the Night was Hurt Business New Day. Absolutely amazing match. Knew it would be, I say that like the last week, 2 weeks ago, the worst thing about that match last week or 2 weeks ago was that it was too short and had an ending that could have been a wee bit better. This match was incredible. However, Cedric Alexander almost killed himself with the first suicide dive and then proceeded to instantly go back into the ring and do two more that almost killed him. That's now a gif on Twitter. Go back and look at that and you'll see how lucky Cedric Alexander is to not be injured, because a brilliant match, but if you do one suicide dive and it doesn't land, I admire the dedication. I try and try again, but man, don't do three that are gonna near cripple you. So aye, good draw overall if you just want to ignore the first 2 hours and watch the last one. Which was 40 minutes of Drew McIntyre Orton.
Well, I'll go back and see it, because I've not watched Raw in weeks, but I want to see that Drew McIntyre entrance. That sounds amazing. And the fact that he said, yes, sir, I can boogie. That's...
Oh, it was the first thing I seen when I woke up. Eh? I was like, that's tremendous.
Brilliant. Well played, Drew. Well played, Drew. Scotty, thanks once again for coming on and being the guest, Mark. Always a pleasure to have you on, sir.
No worries. Pleasure as always.
Scott is one of our patrons, and if you want to get involved, be a guest, Mark, do a run, you can do that. Get involved, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We're having a party for Survivor Season Monday night, Scotty, so hopefully see you on that one.
Aye, we'll be. We're a sober one, unfortunately.
Oh, boo. It's not like you.
Easy. I'm just work already.
Absolutely. Listen, have a good one, Scott. Thanks for being a Martin. If you want me to get buddies and put overs in for Rab and Grado, you know where to do it. At Wrestling Daft on Twitter, at Wrestling Daft on Facebook, and the boys will get your mentions in this Friday.
Welcome back to the biggest rip-off segment we have here on Wrestling Daft. It's WrestleMind, the Buzznauts. Now, unfortunately, we seem to have a little bit of issues with our guest this week, and he's dropped off at the last minute. So as such, we're going to have to throw it back to our marks and have them play for honour and for some kind of forfeit. Now, I've kind of thought of a wee forfeit, which I'm not really going to give you the chance to argue this. Hello, so the loser has to put out tomorrow morning when the podcast goes live a video of themselves doing their best Undertaker impression. Now, I do encourage you to get as dressed up as possible, hair, hat, the full shebang, but that is up to you.
I'll just eat some chicken wings, we're all good.
I'd also be okay with that. So without further ado, shall we dive straight into it, gents? It's the same format as last week before John starts shouting at me for time issues. So let's jump in. Question number one. We're going back to the Connect the Dots famous music in wrestling question. So this week, I want you to pick me out a WrestleMania red herring, i.e. which of the following three acts have not, I repeat, not played at WrestleMania. First up is Corey Taylor from Slipknot, P. Diddy of Sean Combs fame, and finally, Travis Barker from Blink 182 Broken Teenage Hearts. Who lost? Gary won last week, did he not?
No, John lost last week against the contestant.
Well, we'll do Mugs Away this week then, John. It's you up first.
Do you know what I think? I think this is a trick question. I'm going to say Slipknot, because I think they played NXT, but I don't think they played WrestleMania, so I think it's a trick question.
One shout for Corey Graves, Gary.
I know for a fact that Corey Taylor has not played WrestleMania, because I know that the other two definitely have at 29 and 31 respectively.
Ding, 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 ding. You are both, in fact, correct. Our red herring is Corey Taylor. I thought that would maybe catch someone out. Slightly disappointed. So P. Diddy, as Gary said, was 29, and Travis Barker played at WrestleMania 31 with... It was Skylar Grey and Kid Ink.
Aye.
Yep. That was the one. Now, since we are currently living through the 30 years of The Undertaker, I thought we'd also take The Undertaker theme quiz... themes today. So I'm going to play you three of my favorites, and as always, I would like to know when exactly they were first debuted. So number one is, of course, the classic, the Great Wars. Number two is that Fred Wars. Number one is Bang a Rollin'.
Ain't no great can hold my body down.
Decided to use Mr. Johnny Cash. So now you know me. I'm a nice guy. I like to give you a bit of a hint. So Graveyard Symphony, we have down for 95, 96, or 97. Keep rolling, 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 99, 2000, or 2001. And Ain't No Grave by Johnny Cash, 2010, 2011, or 2012. Mr. Cassidy.
Give me 95.
Yep.
2000. I'm between two there. 2000. And 2012.
And John, do you know what to get for?
That the grab wasn't his original grave.
So Graveyard Symphony was originally debuted this year, and then he swapped to his more American badass persona around about. Yeah. I'm not going to say the year because then I'll help you with a later question.
Yeah.
But then he switched back when he came back after the Buried Alive map with Kane.
Okay. Did he walk down to Ain't No Grave? I don't remember that at all.
He did it. Oh, I will tell you when he used
it. Okay. Right, no worries. Right, I'll go for, in that case, I will go for 96, 2001, and 2011.
Okay, I like that. So this is, I think, the first time we've actually had people give us completely different answers. So here we go. Graveyard Symphony was first debuted in 1996 and then was used till about 1998. Roland, I don't know why I keep saying Roland when the name of the song is literally just Roland, was debuted at Hell in a Cell 2000. And Ain't No Grave was used at the WrestleMania entrance in 2011. So that is 2 points for John and only a single point for Gary. So John takes the lead on 3-2.
Yes!
Moving into everyone's favourite round. Next lines. So I forgot to say last week, you can say pass. You have a maximum of getting 5 shots. You can say pass if you want to speed things up since you only have 30 seconds. So Gary went first last week, which means John is going first this week. Are you good to go, sir? You've got your 30 seconds?
Yep.
All righty. Is it my eyes when you look at me?
Pass.
Oh, no, I know what.
Your time is up. My time is now.
You can't see me. My time is now.
No chance. No chance in hell.
Da-da-da-da-da. No chance. That don't continue.
I walk for miles in this pit of danger.
Oh, I don't know what I walk for miles in this pit of danger. Oh no, I'm rubbish at this round. Pass.
Okay, so that's 2 points. So first up, we had Tyler.
The first
Breeze.
One was.
Is it my? Sorry.
Oh no, I've got the first one completely wrong. I was certain of then.
First one is it my eyes when you look at me? They are so gorgeous, they'll set you free.
Of course it
is. Tyler Breeze. Then we have, your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. John Cena. No chance, no chance in hell. You got no chance, no chance in hell. Yeah, that was a bit of a cheeky one on my part, I'll agree. Number four was Batista. So yeah, I walk for miles inside this pit of danger. A place where no one follows me, I walk alone.
Yeah.
I was certain the first one was actually Cult of Personality.
No,
it may have been the cadence I read now. I was like, man, that's definitely Cult of Personality. Living Colour.
No worries. 1 point then, is it?
2 points. 2 points. I'm gonna be really nice and give you the Vince McMahon one as well.
Thank
because you.
You
were close. You were close enough. So, Mr. Cassidy, your time starts now. I came to play, there's a price to pay.
Oh, I know the song. I know it's The Miz, but I don't know what the next line is.
We'll call that a pass, shall we?
Yeah.
On this day, I see clearly everything has come to life.
Oh, something that I know. I also know it's Metalingus and I know it's Edge, but I don't know the next line.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man.
Is the next line not, I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Ding, ding, and your final one. Here comes the money.
Is it not just here comes the money and then money, 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 money?
Correct. So that's 2 out of 4. So Gary had The Miz. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray.
That's a one.
Of course, second one being Edge, Metalingus. On this day, I see clearly everything has come to life. A better place in a broken dream. Leave it all behind. Hulk Hogan, of course, I'm a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I'm a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. And here comes the money. Money, 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 money. So that was 2 points each there, gents. That's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah. So John leads on 5 points.
Men will always be terrible. There's a psychological thing that women listen to lyrics while men just listen to the sound of the music.
I gave you the tune, but none of the words.
Well, I'm hoping one day to do a team quiz and we'll get to that one day. We'll get to that one day, don't you worry. So, on to our tiebreaker as always. For 3 points, we're going to be playing the inverted polarity bonus round. You boys know the drill. We'll play the first 20 seconds of a wrestler's entrance theme backwards. and you guys buzz in when you are ready who you think it is. Are we prepared?
Yeah.
Let's do it. I think that was just Gary.
No way! I got in first. Replay.
Can I celebrate this by saying yes? Yes.
That is nonsense.
John, I think you might have just been done via lag, unfortunately. Gary was, of course, correct. It was Daniel Bryan.
I heard Gary. Right, I'm going to see when this podcast gets published. Please, if you listen to the podcast, right, tweet in and just say John was robbed, please. Because I'm pretty sure when I put this back together, my name will be heard first. Listen, I'm not a sore loser, though. I'm not a sore loser. I'm willing to take the Undertaker challenge. So that will be up on my Twitter at Producer Mac tomorrow as I do an impression of the Undertaker. No problem at all.
I really hope that you wear a wig for that. I think that, join me next week. Shall I make it have two inverse polarity rounds and you time how quickly you come back?
No, that's suggestions fine. Here. It's fine. Well done, Gary.
I'll take it as a win because I know that I'm going to lose on Fantasy Booking Island, so we're all good.
And that was WrestleMind the Buzzcocks. If you want to come on at any point, please get in touch with us on all the usual social channels.
Here, it's come up to Christmas, isn't it? Do you know what you want?
You're not allowed to talk about Christmas until after St. Andrew's Day, please, John.
It's 17th of November. Man, everywhere you go now...
So 2 weeks, you just have to be patient for more weeks.
But then everywhere you go, people are putting up Christmas trees because of COVID. I went to have a coffee, the Christmas tree was up, the Christmas music player. I was like, what the fuck? But anyway, this is what I want to sell you. It's come up to Christmas, and how would you like to treat your loved one? You can buy a year subscription on our Patreon to Wrestling Daft, and you'll get all the content for a year from Wrestling Daft. It's dead easy to do it. We've got loads of content up there. Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. You can start off with a cruiserweight if you fancy that. You know, get ad-free version of the episodes, early episode access, bonus content from the show, full video version, so you can see Alex's big hair and Gary's brand new China t-shirt. You get to vote on the feature, what features on the list of Wrestling Daft. You get to vote on Fantasy Booking Island, and that's just in tier one. What about tier two? I hear you cry. Well, you get loads of stuff up there as well, and that's about $7 a month. You get everything in tier one, video version of the flagship show with Rab and Grado. Invite to our Patreon pay-per-view parties. I'm going to do one this Monday. If you boys are up for it, I'm going to do a Survivor Series one this Monday. We watch back Survivor Series because we do, you know, Sunday into Monday is never a good thing, so we'll watch Survivor Series on Monday night if it's up for it. And you get bonus episodes once a month. Right now you can see the RF shoot interview as Grado interviewed Rab, and it's really weird but quite funny as Grado interviewed Rab in an RF shoot style video about comedy. So check that out.
It's weird seeing Grado hold an entire episode together, isn't it?
It's just very strange when he's just like in the middle of talking about comedy. He goes, "What about you? Got any good Owen Hart rib stories?" It was just really weird and absolutely brilliant. So you can get that right now up on our Patreon. Tier three, you can get that signed up there at about £15 a month. Everything the previous tiers, free Wrestling Daft T-shirt. You have to be signed up for a minimum of 3 months. If you are waiting on one, I'm going to get to you. Don't worry. There's a backlog in orders at the moment, but I will get to you because I think there's a few patrons who have been signed up for 3 months. I'll get to you. Don't worry. We'll get that T-shirt sorted out and you get the chance to do the run-in or come on here as a mark. So plenty up on offer.
Wait a second. What about tier four?
Tier four. what did we say was on tier four?
Tier four was everything you get in tier three, but John will come and milk whatever you felt want him to milk at your house.
That was true. We talked about that last week.
I think a cow would be funniest, but for the vegans out there, you might need to go and do some nuts. You might need to go and do some almonds.
Yes, that is in reference to last week's episodes where I was raving about nuts and almonds. And Alex went and researched actually what it takes to... Yeah, apparently you can do it in your home.
No, that was just one of my friends on Instagram. Was just very... well, timingly milking his own nuts.
Right, well, okay, excellent. So I'll come
around. I hope he used a Manscaped razor before he milked his own nuts.
I'll come round, I'll milk your nuts. There we go. That's what happens on tier four. So if you fancy becoming one of our patrons, get involved. Get a year subscription right now, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Listen, it's what your other half wants for Christmas. It's the Wrestling News. with Gary Cassidy.
Yep, so we've already mentioned Drew McIntyre, because why are we going to get through a podcast without mentioning him? So I guess it's only fitting that he's the first portion of the news as well. As we've seen, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus have been having a wee bit of back and forth on Raw the past couple of weeks. We know they've got a wee bit of history. Anybody that's watched the Drew McIntyre documentary will know that. Anybody that knows a Drew McIntyre before WWE will know that they were in, I believe, OTT Wrestling, a few other promotions over on, I say, this side of the pond. OTT is in Ireland. But yes, it looks like we are heading for some kind of storyline between them. I guess a match as well. But Dave Meltzer is reporting that these segments are leading to something. Love Dave Meltzer. I think anybody that's watched the segments could probably tell you that was going to be the case anyway.
It's not news, is it?
No, it's definitely not. But
Dave Meltzer figures out how wrestling booking works after 5 years.
But it's, you never know. It's the kind of thing where, you know, he says a lot of things, and I guess this is the kind of thing that's definitely going to come true anyway. But it looks like we're going to head to McIntyre Sheamus at some point, which I guess is good, because it means that, well, I don't want to say that. I was going to say maybe we're going to have McIntyre keeping the title and it's in a title feud, but we've seen him feud Randy Orton so many times. What's another one? You never know.
They might lose the title. Do you think they're going to feud over his lovely new claymore?
Maybe they just have a sword fight. You never know.
Because like, Sheamus might be a face or a heel just now, because I thought he was a heel, and then he seemed like a very big face giving Drew his kilt.
I think he is still a heel, but because he's in this Survivor Series storyline, we don't really get much for the Thunderdome on it, because the Hurt Business have gone from heel to face to heel again, for how they're being told to be cheered, or, you know, how people are being told to cheer or boo for them. So I don't think we really know, but I would have said he was still a heel.
Yeah.
But I think we're kind of just accepting that they've got history there, so maybe, you know, the friendship is not in the kayfabe of Raw, and we just accept that they're pals anyway.
Aye, I mean, it's going to be, I think, it'll be set up for Brogue versus Claymore. I mean, that's...
And they've got to be hit at the same time as well. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
At that move at the same time, but aye, so Sheamus McIntyre, I don't care, I love Sheamus, and obviously I
want to see that
McIntyre, so
I want to see that. I think, you know, the kind of Celtic feud thing, they can do a lot around that, so no,
there's going to be a lot of tweets from Gary about taking a certain man off NXT commentary and making it a three-way, but
yeah
get Barrett in there, get bad news in there,
absolutely. Let's go on to AEW then, and you know, not good news for Brody Lee.
No, I completely missed that he's just not been on TV for a while. I think it maybe speaks volumes for AEW and the fact that I didn't really notice that he wasn't there. But aye, we've not really seen him since the dog collar match. Apparently he might be injured. And again, this is another one of those ones where it's like, might be an ankle injury. We don't really know for certain because no one's really said anything. Dave Meltzer said it might be an ankle injury. And again, no one.
It might be. A great reporting, Dave. It might be an arm injury. It might be a head injury.
Maybe he's got a bruised neck for the dog collar that was used in the match. But just speaks volumes to AEW, because I really didn't notice this until the story came out earlier in the week, or I think it was late last week now, but I just didn't notice that we hadn't seen him. So I guess definitely good. It speaks more volumes for AEW than it does for Brody Lee. But I guess it would also maybe explain why we got that title change, because I think a lot of people are saying, why did you just put the title back on Cody Rhodes if you were going to get a Darby Allin anyway? Maybe this goes some way to explaining that.
Aye. But I wonder if that happened during the match and they've called it, if they called it in the ring then.
Possibly, aye. That's another possibility, definitely. But hopefully it just means people stop moaning.
Well, there is that. And more on Zelina Vega.
Aye, so at least we could fly through the first two bits of news and inverted quotes to bring this. Because there is a lot on the Zelina Vega stuff. Obviously, we've kind of covered a lot of the grounds about, you know, her speaking about unionisation, the kind of timeline as to release as well. So, and a lot of this has come from both PW Insider and also Sports Illustrated have put a wee bit on it as well, but their bit lacks clarity, which... So, Zelina Vega released on Friday, just before SmackDown. Her tweet about unionisation came out, saying she supports it 10 minutes before her release was confirmed. A lot of people saying, oh, she was sacked for saying she supports it. She was sacked beforehand. Sacked, again, is a strong word, but is what happened in this case. It was for creating an OnlyFans account after having previously been told to close all third-party things. Again, not here to say whether that's right or wrong. People can make up their own minds on
I'll
that.
I'll tell you it's wrong.
I will sit back and let people make up their own minds.
You've got relationships to continue, but I'll say it's wrong on your behalf.
However, you know, Zelina Vega, no longer part of the company. Her husband is. I am, again, not going to say anything about whether this may or may not affect him anyway, in any way. However, WrestleVotes have come out and said that recently, and they've said it's not related directly, but they're married. So it's related in some way. Aleister Black requested a move back to NXT recently. And again, they've not said how recently or anything like that. But WrestleVotes are one of those kind of, I always call them ever reliable, because even when they're wrong, it comes a couple of weeks later that they were right. Yeah. Always seems to be the case with WrestleVotes. And they confirmed one of my stories as well. So,
big question. Guys. How long till a certain somebody's going through a table?
Yep, Nia Jax is definitely putting Aleister Black through a table at Survivor Series. No, but apparently that move was rejected. And again, I think this is the kind of thing that's maybe, it's only news because of what happened to Zelina Vega, but it's came out before that Asuka's requested a move back. Kevin Owens has requested a move back. Obviously, Kevin Owens appeared once in NXT since, but it might not even be anything related. It might be, but it might not be anything related. But apparently, he did request a move back and it was rejected. And he's not exactly set the world on fire on Raw or SmackDown since. So I guess we'll kind of wait and see what happens with that. But the big news is the Zelina Vega stuff going forward. SAG-AFTRA, I don't know if you're allowed to say that without spelling out the SAG-AFTRA thing. But the Screen Actors Guild essentially got wind of Zelina Vega's both her release and the fact that she had supported unionization, and they have come out and said that they are going to actively seek essentially involvement in wrestling. So they're going to look into the wrestling industry and try and get involved in some way. Important to note, they've no pointed at WWE, so it seems like they might be seeking, you know, involvement overall, which probably is a big challenge, you'd have to say. The wrestling industry is, as we've seen this year, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in it that might be difficult to have unionization change in some way, but we'll see, because if anybody can do it, I guess the biggest entertainment trade union in America is the way to go. Andrew Yang has came out and openly supported that as well. We don't know if he will politically have any kind of involvement thus far, because we need to wait and see what gets announced in terms of American political roles and stuff going forward. Obviously,
and
a certain
get announced.
Yeah, a certain WWE Hall of Famer has only recently conceded defeat, and also still
I think saying he's conceded defeat is a little bit strong there, Gary. I don't think those words have ever left his mouth yet.
No, he still said it was rigged. We don't know if Andrew Yang will be involved, but he's obviously very clear in what he wants to see happen. The Screen Actors Guild are kind of involved. I guess we'll wait and see, but we'll not really see if Zelina Vega does anything else until the middle of February, because she's got a 90-day non-compete clause. So,
just hope the Film Actors Guild don't get involved.
Yeah. Aye. I mean, it makes it, I mean, the whole thing, it just must be very awkward from Aleister Black's point of view. You know, I guess when anything like that happens in wrestling, it's happened in the past when there's been, you know, on it, well, real off-air couples, you know, things have happened where one of them's been released. It's just really awkward, isn't it? It must be a horrible, horrible position to be in for Aleister Black, especially when he's such a talented guy, you know, and should be getting a big push up into the kind of the main event picture, you know. It's no good. No good at all.
Do you remember him, his debut? And like how, like, what was it, him and Ricochet competed for every tag team belt over one weekend? Yeah. WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah.
And their Twitch account is a joint Twitch account as well, which is one of those ones. But it's interesting as well, because the one thing worth noting is the other big news that happened this week is Sasha Banks is in The Mandalorian. Under her real name, Mercedes Vornado. So she's not doing the John Cena. WWE only getting a cut of that money. But WWE have openly advertised and promoted everything that she's done in The Mandalorian. So it's interesting to see where these third party things extend to and where they don't extend to.
I think a certain mouse has given a certain business Vince a little bit of a cutback there.
Brilliant. Well, we'll speculate on that, and thanks as usual for the news, Gary. Once again, welcome to Fantasy Booking Island. We're all rubbed up in Factor 25, enjoying the sunshine while the rain pours in Scotland. It's the island where anything in wrestling goes. Last week we were asked to book a gimmick match, any kind of real gimmick match. Let's go round the houses. Gary, what did you book?
As always, I don't remember.
For goodness sake, remind you stole my idea if you would like to remember,
yeah,
Gary.
Oh, yeah, snake pit match with Slash, Serpentico, Jake Roberts, yes, and Stone Cold and Randy Orton involved. That was the one.
Yep, stole my snake pit match. Yep. Alex, what was yours?
Anything but a ladder match, I believe.
It was indeed. And mine's it was the Glasgow Subway Street Fight, where you go around from stop to stop, you wrestle and...
Well, I wonder who's won this one.
Well, I've got the results in, boys. With 75% of the vote, it was my good self that won this week's fantasy booking. So
I like to think that the Patreons are now like at least 75% from Glasgow.
Who knows? But I won, so...
No, yeah. I think we're 75% from Larbert and one household in particular.
Get your Patreon account set up over this way. So that was the last week's booking. This week, Daniel McBride's been in touch, and he has asked for the booking. Can you make the 24/7 title prestigious? Good luck. Do you know what? Since he's moaned and he was going to protest about it, I am going to put Alex first up for it. Let's see if he's going to protest or throw in the towel straight away. Alex, your 3 minutes start now.
Well, I would have protested, but I've had an idea. So you just take the 24/7, you put it in the bin, and you pull out the hardcore title, and you finish.
But that's not making the 24/7 prestigious.
It is. It's putting it in the bin and then replacing it with something else. Okay, then, just hit it with a hammer, smash it up, then have Mick Foley present it to R-Truth again.
That was my exact idea.
So that is your booking. Gary, yeah. Is that your booking?
No, I will go for a... Right, I'll go.
Okay. Well, Alex is throwing...
Pretty similar, but...
Alex has spat the dummy, clearly.
Well, I had that's what Alex came up with in 53 minutes.
You're shy.
Requests have been made. This is not the first time this issue has been raised.
Could never work for Vince, right?
Okay. So just to let all the listeners know, I have John saved on my phone as last minute Mac, and you can guess the reason why.
Right, well, I'm just saying, right, okay, Gary, I'll give you 3 minutes starting then.
I was actually going to just take the question off, can you make it prestigious, and answer no, because I don't think you can. My first thought was actually going back to that. I didn't think as smart as putting it in the bin and pulling out the hardcore one. I was going to have Mick Foley come back and say, no, 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 this is not what I expected this title to be. You've made it a joke when the hardcore championship has a long lineage of being a very well-respected championship, and smash the belt with some kind of hammer on it, just make it the hardcore title. However, I think we can try and make it prestigious again. So essentially what I would do there is, and you would probably need to have somebody that's a big name win it. Maybe not a big name, just somebody that can carry a match. But R-Truth I think would be fine. Have R-Truth come out every week and actually issue an open challenge. The rules of the 24/7 title are suspended for this match, as they say every week. But you have R-Truth do the John Cena, mimic his childhood hero John Cena, and come out and issue an open challenge every week to someone from NXT who can come and have 20 minutes of airtime. Annoyingly, if it was on SmackDown, we could call it the Fox Open Challenge, but we can't call it the USA Open Challenge. Or maybe you can. The USA Network Open Challenge, there you go, completely ripping off John Cena. Even have him dress as John Cena and come out and issue that open challenge. And we have NXT Superstars challenge for the title every week. 20 minutes time limit match, even rip off AEW that way. You have 20 minute time limit matches. They can go to a draw, R-Truth retains the title. And there you go. You just have them defend the title every week. That's how you make it prestigious.
Good. Not bad shout. Okay. I'll go up next. Right, here's my idea to make it prestigious. Let's just get back to basics and doing what you were before. We're seeing these cuts from across the week, you know, made in a package where they're fighting out in the street, they're doing roll-ups at ball pits. I mean, it's a bit hard while we're obviously COVID at the moment. They're, you know, they're doing through, going to a drive-through and, you know, our, you know, somebody jumps out and does a pin. But it's not just a roll-up every time, it's an actual match. All they seem to be to the 24/7 is roll up, and it's just shite. Let's make it into a proper wrestling match, and every week let's have a cinematic style match where every week, you know, there might be a wheel spun, or, you know, just to say, right, next week's match is in a construction yard, this week, next week's match is at mini golf, you know, and there's a cinematic style match which just uses
stuff. Can I just remind you of the Street Profits Viking Raiders rivalry that you hated that you were just slowly describing?
I know, but this is for the 24/7 title, it's not for the tag title, so there can be that comedic element to it, and, you know, you make it so there is a big kind of feature match each week, and do you know what, you actually make a division out of it. See, all these people are just running about doing nothing and chasing the title, just make a kind of almost like a league so next week, this week's winner was such and such. Up until the match on Thursday, it's a free for all, but I tell you what, whoever's took, you know, the next kind of contender are doing well, they get that match every Monday. So the, you know, whether it's, you know, like I say, and just make it into this big thing each week, you know, and put all these guys who aren't got nothing to do into that division, and it just gives a good bit of telly, good bit of entertainment, and just something different on the 3-hour show every week.
I'm really surprised no one went for what I would call the easy option here and had The Miz cash in his Money in the Bank on R-Truth for the 24/7 championship. I thought somebody was going to go for it.
kind of devalues Money in the Bank too much, though, does it?
Ah, exactly.
I guess we get some balance. It would kind of elevate one while bringing another
one need
down.
You wouldn't need to cash in for Money in the Bank, though, because
you wouldn't need to.
It would have made sense. Otis had done that because he didn't realise that the 24/7 you could just have a match wherever you wanted, and he tried to cash in on it.
There you go. So there you go. That is this week's fancy booking. Alex phoned it in yet again. You know, just put it in the bin, pull out the hardcore title as his booking. Gary, wee bit more effort into his. So yeah, that's right. And then you've got mine, which is obviously...
And John's was obviously terrific. He put loads of effort into it, and everyone in Barbara's going to vote for him this week, guys.
So get on. You can get voting who's booking you thinks is the best. Head on to our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaffo. Get the vote up, and you can also suggest something for us to book next week. So there you have it.
The irony is Alex couldn't do this one because he needs a notice, because he needs to think about it 24/7.
So that's it for this week's Marks Show. Please remember to get on to wherever you get this podcast, rate, review, subscribe, do all that. And remember, Rab and Grade will be back on Friday with the main show, List of Wrestling Daft this week. Grade was in a right stinking mood last week. He thought the List of Wrestling Daft, which we did last week, which was the... I can't even remember it. It was so good. What was it? The biggest holy shit moments... and he was like, boring. He was in the right stinking mood. So we put the suggestion, right, Grado, you put up whatever you want. He couldn't think of anything, but he eventually came out with the best wrestling rumours. So that won. So we'll be looking for your best wrestling rumours on the List of Wrestling Daft this week. Also, in the punning, it's sex wrestlers. Grado's starter for 10 last week was CM Spunk. Anything relating to sex...
What does the CM in his CM Spunk stand for?
I don't know. Semen Punk.
CMN.
CMN Punk. So, Spunk. Though. So,
I think you actually need to get Gary on as a guest for this segment.
We should. Gary is the king of the... We have
bad times.
I have to say, we have been absolutely inundated with these. So, get involved on our Twitter and get your sex wrestling puns in. And we asked randomly, we came across a clip with Undertaker being interviewed by Jenny Powell and getting angry at the mere mention of Ant and Deck. And then we've been inundated with lots of appearances of wrestlers on 90s TV shows as well. So, we'll be talking about that on Friday as well. I think my favourite so far is Randy Savage on Games Master. Let's, before we go today, let's just run through the card for Survivor Series, quick predictions. Right, let's start at the bottom. The Undertaker's final farewell. What is going to happen there, Mr. Cassidy? What, have you heard anything?
No, I would absolutely love it if it ends with Elias smashing a guitar out his back, because, you know, Elias has been the butt of the joke between Undertaker and Cena. But I think we are actually probably more fool me, because this never happens in wrestling. I think it's going to go off without a hitch. I think we're going to have him actually just say his farewell.
Oh, really?
how daft of me to say something like that, because obviously everybody's saying it's going to lead to either The Fiend or Sting or Brock Lesnar or somebody coming out, and, you know, or Randy Orton, somebody coming out. But
is it maybe it would be, I mean, we all know that Sting's free at the moment. Have we all seen what you can do with a cinematic match with The Undertaker last year? Would it, you know, he does his farewell and then Sting appears on the ramp? There's no WrestleMania.
I don't think there's enough cinema in the world to cover up a Sting Undertaker match in 2020, mate.
I actually think we're out of the cinematic match era. I think we're looking at the crowds now. No, that isn't my political opinion. I need to say that. but I think WWE are looking at crowds now.
I'm not sure if that's going to be the case. I think things might change in America come January for some reason.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm thinking that their viewpoint would be that if the Super Bowl is going to have fans, then they can have fans in cinema matches.
But if you are going to do a Sting Undertaker match, that is the only way to do it, is a kind of cinema match. And it's the match that everybody's wanting to see, so why the hell not? We'll wait and see. I don't think it'll happen.
Undertaker Goldberg, that's why the hell not. I just want Kane to come out and then to have a really big hug in the ring.
Right.
Okay. That would be the way to do it. Tie up that story start to finish.
Well,
their mum could come out. Or too far.
Too far. Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. Again, it's a heel dynamic.
Oh, see, I think Sami Zayn's going to steal like a cheeky little one like he did this week on SmackDown.
Yeah,
it's going to be like a stupid finish, and Sami's going to win it by like a count out or a disqualification or by some nefarious means.
Yeah,
I would like that to be the case, but I think the Hurt Business might outnumber Sami Zayn.
Aye, yeah.
Cesaro? Nakamura?
Maybe Lashley, I think, yeah. I think Lashley's winning that one. New Day, Street Profits?
I think it'll be Street Profits. I think
the young team going over. Torch moment. I can see the young team going over on it, yeah. Absolutely. I think that'll be one of the matches of the night.
It'll be fantastic. I don't care who wins it. I think it'll be brilliant, but I think...
Do you think you could get a heel turn from one of them in it? Nah, not a Survivor Series. What'll be the point?
Oscar, Sasha, it's just face versus face, heel versus heel, isn't it? Jeez. Oscar versus Sasha.
Bailey screws Sasha,
yeah, that's probably the way it's going to be.
That would make sense. I kind of hope they don't, but we've seen this match so many times this year. I know it's different dynamics, but...
Yeah. Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, Peyton Royce, and Lana, Team Raw versus Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and two TBDs. Who are the two TBDs? Any inklings of who they'll be?
Probably Natalya, even though she's lost all the qualifiers. I think probably her. But who knows until SmackDown's not
Carmella?
Chelsea Green?
Maybe, but no, she's injured. She broke her wrist on her debut like she did with NXT. So she's out for 3 months at least. Carmella's a good shout, but I mean, she seems to be preoccupied with Sasha Banks. So maybe she costs Sasha. Should put Bailey in there. That would make sense. But for me, I don't think it matters who's in it, because Lana's going to be the last woman standing and win it for Team Raw.
Yeah. That's a good shout. And the men's Survivor Series, we've got Keith Lee, AJ Styles, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Riddle. Fucking Riddle. Versus Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and...
Do you know what they should do? I think they should enter a third team called Retribution, and Retribution should win.
That might happen.
They should.
That might happen. Who else is the going to put in for SmackDown on that team? I'm just trying to think.
Aleister Black. no idea. I think they'll probably do another one of these last chance multi-person matches.
Daniel Bryan?
I was going to say Daniel Bryan. Is Kevin Owens in there? Is he part of the
Kevin
team
Owens
just now? He's part of it. So probably Daniel Bryan.
Jimmy Uso? Or is Jimmy still on the shelf?
He's January, I think, as far as we know. But again, I might be wrong. He might be a part of it. Lars Sullivan. That'll be who'll be in it.
And finally, McIntyre versus Reigns.
The impossible match to call.
I want Reigns to win.
I think interference from Sheamus and Reigns to win.
Or Jay maybe as well.
Jay
could jump the gun and get involved, and then Roman gets really pissed off about it, and then it continues the Jay Roman storyline while protects both Drew and Roman.
I think
that's the kind of one that I don't really want Roman to lose yet, and I know that Orton already beat McIntyre, so maybe it is the easy thing to do to just have McIntyre lose, because I don't think any of them that's the kind of match where nobody loses anything.
That's why I think Sheamus will be involved, just so they protect both of them. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. But there you go. Survivor Series, we're going to do a Patreon pay-per-view party next Monday for that. If you want to get involved, Wrestling Daft. Oh no, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We don't have a website. So yeah, get involved, boys. As usual, thank you for your company this evening. Gary, we can get you at where?
Wrestling Gary on Twitter, where I'm being a complete mark and shell for myself. So that's the only place you need to follow to hear any other ramblings of mine.
Absolutely. Alex, where can we get you?
I just don't think there's any point, to be
honest. Have you opened Twitter since last week?
I'm sure I did for some reason.
I'm going to check for Alex. You can get Alex at Thirsty Bar.
Alex is on 80 followers on the dot. I think 100 by next week is not a... I think 80 to 100 is not a massive jump.
Oh, but then that would require me to then have some presence on Twitter. And then I'd have to think of things to post. I'd have to find content.
Alex isn't fancy.
John can send his Undertaker impression to Alex, and that's where you need to see that exclusively on Alex's Twitter.
There you go.
There we go. He's, that's why we pay him the money. Thank you very much for listening to Wrestling Daft the Marks, and until next time, keep marking out. Audio Frontier.